I have to say that I look forward to this particular tour portion every year. Not only does it signify the beginning of summer, in my mind, but also if you read the verses, it's a dramatic story. This is where the spies are sent out to scout the land. And what happens? Only two spies come back with what's considered an honest report. And who are the two spies that come back with the honest report? Good, Joshua and Caleb. And so what I want to speak about for a few moments this morning with your help is why Joshua's name is the only spy's name that's altered in this account. What's his name before he goes and scouts the land? Who knows? What's his name beforehand? His name is Yehoshua, but what's his name before? Hoshea ben Nun, exactly. So his name is actually changed before one of the most momentous occasions in his life where he's chosen to go and scout and look at the land and bring back the report. So help me now. Let's explore for a moment as a congregation. What are the reasons why people change their names? What are the Jewish reasons or Jewish traditions associated with changing your name? Help me by raising your hand, please. Illness. So if someone's going through battling some kind of sickness, it's a tradition or a minhag, if you will, to change your name. And actually, it says in the Talmud that if you change your name after an illness or during an illness, it's as if you are confusing Satan, the angel of death. Some people actually change their spot where they sit in the congregation. Shinui makom, changing your place. And the idea is that if Satan is looking for you, not only are you found in a different place, but now you're a different identity. What else? What are some other reasons? If you want to change your life, exactly. So that's what Rambam says. Maimonides says, if you want to change a particular characteristic about yourself, so if you're not thrilled with the way your life is going, perhaps you actually want to engage in a more observant life, a more religious lifestyle, it's appropriate to change your name. Any other suggestions? Francis, did you have one? Oh. That's interesting. Okay, so Francis said perhaps you want to change your name if you're in a different country and you're afraid to reveal that you're a Jew. So there's one more that I want to mention, and the idea in the Zohar is that often someone will change their name as a sign of atonement. If there was some kind of misdeed in their past, some kind of illicit behavior that you're not proud of, different than what Rambam said. Rambam spoke about wanting to change a characteristic, but not necessarily a bad one. The Zohar says, no, this is an act of atonement. You're trying to show some kind of tshuva, forgiveness, repentance, by changing your name. These are all beautiful, interesting, reflective reasons why we have this kind of identity alteration. But let's go back to Joshua. Joshua's name change, I find particularly significant because his name occurs before anything happens. It's not as if he changes his name when he comes back. Perhaps that would make the most sense. If you come back after scouting the land and you're upset by the actions of your peers, the fact that all of your peers are recounting lies and falsehoods, maybe that's a reason to change your name, but no, he changes it beforehand. You see, Hoshea, there's a yud that's added to his name to change it into Joshua. And what Rashi tells us is that Joshua needed that yud before he entered the land. He needed the yud which represents God's name. Because without God's presence embedded within him, he too might have joined the band of spies, spoken lies and falsehood, and then never would have risen up to the esteemed position of spiritual leader of B'nai Israel. And when I was thinking about this additional yud to his name, I thought to myself, it's not really so much a name change. Was God's presence really not there beforehand? I think the yud actually serves not as a change, but as a reminder that every time Joshua heard someone utter his name, he was reminded, God's with me in this moment. In whichever stage he enters, God is with him, empowering him, strengthening him, filling his soul with vigor. How many of us need that reminder before we're entering a new stage in our life? If we think to ourselves before we enter those moments of a yud, of a lingering yud sitting by our hearts, perhaps we too will enter stages of our lives that might seem frightening and daunting with strength and confidence and faith. And so on this Shabbat, I pray for all of us that when we, like the scouts, like the spies, enter uncharted territories, may we find that yud. May we find God's presence embedded within us. And I hope that that moment seems too like an experience of milk and honey. Shabbat shalom.